as we continue this Easter season, also known as Eastertide, we have remembered his crucifixion, his resurrection, and as we await the celebration of Ascension and Pentecost, we want to consider how we are to respond as Christ's disciples responded. And you heard that in the scripture readings this morning. In terms of a common and central theme, we should remember that when we approach God in Jesus Christ, we must do it with what? With faith. So I wanted you to hear once again from the scripture readings those highlights. In Isaiah, it is said that the gates are open to who? The righteous nation that keeps faith. And we are to trust in God forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Then in John's gospel, as we just heard, the story recounted of doubting Thomas, as we call him. Poor guys, can always keep that. But he said, unless he sees and touches Jesus, he would not do what? He would not believe. I will never believe. And after Thomas, though, saw Jesus and touched the scars, he said, my Lord, my God. But thankfully, as we heard from Jesus, he gave us the greater blessing. And what did he say? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And then lastly, which will be our focus for today, is 1 John chapter 5. You can turn to that if you'd like to look at it again. But I want you to hear these two important elements from verses 1 and from verses 4 and 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So this morning, the question set before us that I want us to consider is this. How do you and I have victory over the world? The answer should be obvious, like a catechism, through faith. But I want us to consider, what is faith? How does this faculty that is common to all mankind function? And how does having faith give someone victory over everything else, over the entire world? Unfortunately, in our world today, a wrong view of faith can be used by anyone to justify just about anything. All anyone has to do is simply say, that's just what I believe, because it's my truth. You might have heard that. We also have Disney princesses who tell us to follow our hearts and to believe in ourselves and everything will be okay. Now, ladies, don't get too upset. Just hear me out. As long as you do that, they say, you can do whatever you want, and things will turn out just fine and dandy. As one Disney princess teaches us, you can even disobey your father in order to get what your heart wants, and you won't turn into seafoam at the end of the story. Right? Because they changed the story. But I just, so you get the point. You also, though, I really think these are great, right? Maybe not good, but they catch your eye, right? We've got cat posters and memes everywhere. What do they say on them?
Hang in there.
Hang in there, or in particular one, believe with an exclamation mark, right? That was in the Lego movie. Anybody remember that from the Lego movie? I do. As the Lego movie teaches us, you just need to believe, and any made-up prophecy will become real and true. Whatever anybody said or made up just becomes real and true. Just believe in yourself, the culture tells you, and I, and you can become whatever you want. That's what our society says that faith is all about. Now, we've had some smiles and laughs, but you all might sense the dark turn I'm about to take. When believing is divorced from everything else but a person's sinful heart, things go terribly wrong. And when this view of faith dominates a society, we can call this view justification by faith in yourself alone. When it dominates a society, we all know what that gets us now. We know now, right? It gets us unrelenting, self-serving politician. I think it gets us no-fault divorce. It gets us every form of sexual debauchery. It gets us drag queen story hour, transgenderism. Now we've got to say transspeciesism, transhumanism, and the list goes on. Because as long as you believe it with all your heart, nothing and no one else matters. Hear the sarcasm, right? It is deadly. For reference, we can call this aberration of faith a doctrine of mere assent. And as the scriptures teach, we know that simply saying you believe something to be true doesn't do much for you. James's epistle tells us what? That kind of faith is dead or demonic, even if what you believe happens to be true, such as God exists. And even worse, as I detailed about our society, we are a step of insanity further than what even the demons would be comfortable with. Can I say that? At least the demons know the truth and they tremble at the coming judgment. But people all across America today have become their own gods and believe in themselves so much that they no longer fear the judgment that is coming on the world. They're that blind, you might say. But woe to them and woe to us if we should ever capitulate to their insanity. So, in light of that, I ask you again, how do we have victory over the world? Your answer shouldn't change. John's epistle is still clear. It is by our faith. Who is it that overcomes, or even better, conquers the world, John asks. And he answers, no one except the one who has faith in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. So let us make things clearer now. How does faith in Jesus as the Christ and the Son of God guarantee our victory over the world? To begin with, consider the titles. The titles Christ and Son of God are what? They're royal titles. The Christ or the Messiah means the anointed one, and the Son of God is a Davidic title for the ruler of Israel. As Nathanael confesses in John's gospel, not his epistle, but in the gospel, Nathanael says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. So, how does our faith have victory and overcome the world? It's because it has been placed in the one who has overcome the world already. Do you hear the difference? Everybody else placing their faith in whatever can't overcome the world because we're all a bunch of losers, right? You can't overcome the world by yourself. So it matters who you place your faith in. The right person to place your faith in is not yourself. It's not me. It's not our political leaders or anyone else you can think of. It is only Jesus Christ, the Son of God. At this point, I think it's helpful to recall the five solas of the Reformation. As our society squanders the inheritance of our Protestant and Reformed forefathers, we can begin to understand how this heresy, as I called it earlier, justification by faith in yourself alone, came to be. Whenever any of these solas are stripped from their context and foundation, things go terribly wrong. For instance, American society for decades has sought to divorce sola fide, faith alone, from solus Christus, in Christ alone. When a Christian society rejects that we are justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, the natural human faculty of faith or belief becomes gravely distorted amongst the descendants, which is what we are seeing generation after generation. And since in reality all knowledge is based on faith that is warranted or justified, once you remove the basis of your warrant, your justification, which is who and what? The person and work of Jesus of Nazareth, the one who conquered the world. Once you remove him, then you no longer have knowledge of the truth and you have no way of overcoming the world. Rather, the world will have victory over you and it will do with you as it pleases. A second point of clarity needs to be given to us in our current American church culture. You see, as I think many of us may have grown up with this, a major problem we face in the churches, and it's been around for a long time, decades at least, is a view of faith that has been known as, have you heard of the term easy believism? Easy believism is really just a Christian form of what I talked about earlier, the idea of mere assent. Simply saying that you believe in Jesus does what, according to this easy believism? It punches your ticket and you can, you know, your ticket to heaven, right? The invisible one you carry around in your pocket. You got it? Yeah. And you can go about living your life as you want, sin fully intact and with no real repentance. But this distorts the very heart of true faith. You see, as I explained, that these titles of Jesus are royal titles, we now need to make sure we understand what faith truly means. So consider this. In ancient times, when you placed faith in someone, especially a ruler or a king, that didn't mean you merely believed that they exist and that they rule over a certain territory. Right. That's what I mean, like a basic element, maybe. That's not really what it meant to place your faith in a king. On the contrary, placing your faith in someone meant that you swore your allegiance to them, that you trusted them completely, and that nothing could sway your loyalty to them. Think of a knight with his shield, right? Going out into battle, confident in his calling to defend the country and the king. He has faith, and nothing can shake him. Not even the fear of death. So to help get us past the easy believism that many of us may have grown up with here in the American South, listen to a couple ways that you could translate 1 John 5:5 again. Remember, it said, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes, right? You could say also, who is it, to help bring clarity to this doctrine of faith, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who places their allegiance in Jesus, the Son of God? Or who is it that overcomes the world except the one who is loyal to and fully trusts in Jesus, the Son of God? This is a fuller range of meaning that we should have in our minds when we hear John say faith in verse 4. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You could also say our trust, or our loyalty, or our allegiance. It is not merely believing something to be true. Rather, it is placing your full confidence in Jesus to do what? To overcome the world for us. Now, my last and final observation with this passage from 1 John 5 is to point us in our faith to the key word he used, which is victory. You heard that, right? This is the victory. And then when it says we overcome, that's just another way for saying we have victory. So he's saying victory and victory again. But if you recall with me, right, in this Easter season, the doctrine of Christ's atonement has many aspects to it. And one of those aspects has been termed Christus Victor, which emphasizes how Jesus triumphed over the powers of the old creation by defeating Satan and death, fulfilling the law through which sin held us captive. He conquered the old creation and has victory over it. In the New Testament, Paul and Peter mention to the early Christians, and they use the term elementary principles of the world. You can look in Colossians 2, Galatians 4, and 2 Peter 3. Those, I think, are references to such things in other terms. But in this case, John is saying victory over the world. Paul and Peter also said it in their own terminology. As we, as Christians, have been given the victory over those things because Christ has defeated the world and the powers of the old world have been transferred to Christ. And remember, quote, looking at 1 Peter 3, they've been transferred to Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. So this idea of victory is what I believe John has in mind when he says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So although other scripture teaches us to endure or persevere, John's focus for us in this passage is that we actually have victory. And he explains how we have victory through our faith in Christ. Two things to consider here. Peter Lightheart, in his Through New Eyes commentary on John's epistles, makes the following observations. John doesn't want us to endure, survive, or slog through. He says that we should triumph and that our faith does triumph. Jesus doesn't want you to learn to live with your habitual sins. He wants you to triumph over them. The same can be said about the other enemies we find in the world around us. For those who heard me teach on Mark's gospel narrative of Jesus' trial and crucifixion, that event was the actual enthronement of Christ as king. What the world meant as mockery, God meant as an actual coronation to kingship. So don't miss this point. Jesus didn't triumph over the world by beating it up and bringing hordes of heavenly angels to bear against the Roman Empire. Rather, he gained the victory by boring a hole through death itself and becoming the firstborn from the dead. And so, by that victory that Christ accomplished through his atonement, the world cannot do anything, and I mean anything, to harm us. It has no power over us, and it cannot defeat us. So not just our sin, but everything else that we face. Quoting Lightheart once more, they can slaughter and kill, but eventually we'll come back, glorified. And even in history now, if we die, our death is the seed that goes into the ground and bears much fruit. They can stretch us out over the cross, but we have learned the secret of life, that the cross is the gateway to new life, that death will be swallowed up by victory, that Jesus has turned the tomb into a womb. Whatever might look like defeat, death, failure, isn't. In Christ, it never is, not forever, not for long, for this is the victory that gains victory over the world, our faith. As we continue to celebrate this Easter season, do not lose heart, but have faith. Have faith in Jesus, your royal head who has overcome the world. Hold fast your confidence in him and remain loyal, and you will overcome your sins, you will overcome the world that hates you, and you will even overcome death one day. As the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. So, dear Christian, do not waver in your faith. It is through trusting in Jesus Christ that we find victory, and there is nothing the world, the devil, or even sin and death can do about it. And as John closes his epistle, I close with the same for us. Verse 13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so if you have eternal life in the Son of God, dear Christian, then you have overcome the world. So pray with me. Our great Father in heaven, you have given us the victory through your Son, Jesus Christ. And by your grace, we have placed our faith in him. And in this confidence, we know that if we ask anything according to your will, that you will hear us. So, Father, please give us your victory and help us to follow your command to love one another. Make us more and more like your Son, Jesus, and keep us from the world, from sin, from the devil. Make our hearts full of joy and abounding in hope this Eastertide. May we always know that death is defeated and eternal life is repleted. This I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen.
Amen.